Some of you came today because it's Thursday, and that's cool. I mean, that's great. There's no other place in the world that I'd rather be, honestly, than here. I love this place. It's awesome. But as I was sitting there, I was overwhelmed that some of you didn't come because it's Thursday. Some of you came because you're seeking God for something.
Yes.
If you've ever been to a place where man can't fix it, you ever been there before? I mean, everybody goes to thinking about cancer. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we get there, Dennis Aaron, in our relationships. Man can't fix it. Some of you came tonight and there's some stuff that you're needing to listen to me. You got a couple of choices. You can go, man, it's just a coincidence or the Holy Spirit's in this place. But some of you came tonight and you need God to do something in your life that only God can do. I want to read you out of Ezekiel real quickly. It's where the Lord carried me. Listen carefully. Ezekiel 43. You don't have to turn there. You can just remember it and go back. It says, then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters. Ain't y'all ever seen what a flood can do? Are you listening to me? See, we don't understand the power of water sometimes, but I'm telling you, you let a wall of water hit something, did it something substantial. And I don't care how long it's, listen to me, I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care how big and bad people have said it is. You let a big enough wall of water at a fast enough pace hit it, and it'll destroy it every time. It is not an accident that it describes the glory of God as a roar of rushing waters, because there's nothing so big and there's nothing that's been so long lasting in your life that when the presence of God moves in and it begins to roar, that it can't destroy those things. But you have to have the courage to stand in the middle of it. Now hear me. I asked them to stay because I want them to sing again. And there's all kinds of different worship. Listen to me. There's worship sitting. There's worship standing. There's worship. I stood here one night and watched a cowboy from Mississippi. And Dennis will remember, I looked up, and the next time I saw him, he was laid flat on his face, and he was worshiping. Worship is not a position. Worship is our heart. Tonight, if you want God to do something in your life, I want them to sing this song again, and I just want you to worship. I don't want it to be, Holy Spirit, we want you here. How many times are they just words? If you came tonight with a big enough and a bad enough wall in your life, and there's nobody else that can do anything about it, only God's going to be able to do it, I promise you, now's the time where you cry out and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You hear me? So I'm going to ask them to sing. You got a couple of choices. You can step into that. Now listen, when that water hits, Dennis, it's going to be destructive. There's going to be things of you that it takes away. But the only way to get to where God is trying to get you is to get the you off of you so that the him that's on the inside of you can live. So tonight, let's just sing it one more time. Now, I'm not asking you for any response, but I'm asking you to have the courage to just stand. And if God asks you for a piece of you, let it go. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you've held on to that for a really, really, really long time, and you can't figure out why. You can't get in the presence of God. Why has everything changed? It's real simple. Because you've chosen your wall and your strength above his strength. Maybe if you're in this place tonight and you have cancer, and the only thing left is for God, then wouldn't it be cool to hear about people set free and healed tonight. And if you're in here tonight and you don't know if God heals or not, go read the book and find out if he ever said he quit. I can't find one scripture where it says he quit. And I've looked. Amen. So whatever it is you need, we're just going to sing this one more time. And listen, you got a choice to step in. You hear what I'm talking about? Step in. Step into the flow of it. Sing it, boys.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are.
Come on, tell him he's welcome. Tell him he's welcome to those walls. Tell him he's welcome to those things that don't belong. Come on, you want to see God do something real? You do something real.
God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come on, sing it to him.
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I.
Place tonight, God. Father, restore marriages in this place tonight. Where they were dead, God, heal them tonight in Jesus' name.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Now, they're just going to keep playing for a moment. And listen, I'm smart enough to know when not to contaminate something that is so very special. And there is a roar of his presence. And so many times I look, and Dennis, I've seen places before where there's so much water, but they've got it dammed up, and the people below the dam, they're dying because they just need water. Tonight, if you're in this place and you've been needing a drink, this is your time. See, there's a button, and it's all under your control. Whether or not you open that and open the floodgates and just let it roll on down, and guess what? When you open those floodgates, it's just going to happen. What happens when you open the gates of a dam? It doesn't have to be made. It doesn't have to be pumped. It's gravity. God made us so that he could pour himself into us, but we have to be willing to open that gate. And as we were singing, I just was overwhelmed that there are some marriages in this place, and you're struggling. Listen to me. If you're struggling in your marriage, honey, let me tell you something. Don't give up.
Thank you.
The only thing you need to give up is yourself. God wants to heal your marriage in this place today, no matter what it is. Okay? It doesn't matter what's happened. See, sometimes you've got to let go of where you've been so that you can have the destiny that God intended for you. Amen? So tonight, I'm going to ask them to sing it just one more time. And if you're in this place, this is your last, just last time. We're going to sing it once more. But I want you just to reach up to heaven. And listen, some of you here have got some grandkids that are hurting. You're in the presence of God. He's going to open up those floodgates of heaven tonight. We're going to reach them wherever they're at. If they're buying meth tonight, I just believe God's going to send the hounds of heaven to that crack house. Amen. I believe God's going to grab a hold of them and set them free. Amen. So sing it, boys, just one more time.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa.
thank you, Father. Now just lift your hands and thank him tonight. Father, thank you for marriages being restored. Thank you for lives being changed. Thank you for grandkids being rescued from crack houses tonight.
Yes.
Thank you, God, tonight that a baby is being saved tonight because there will be a choice made to keep that child. Thank you, Father. Listen, I'm just going to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit told me. There's either someone in this house or you know someone, and they're struggling whether or not to keep their child or to get rid of it with the way that is politically correct today. I believe tonight God is speaking, and they're going to see a baby, and that baby will do great things. All because the Spirit of God was allowed to roar in a place and to rumble through. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Would you just put your hands together for Jesus? Thank you, Father. Yeah. It is an honor to get to be in this house tonight. We're going to skip that. We're just going to move right into the Word. If you have your Bible, I want you to go with me to James chapter 1. Tonight I'm going to be ministering to you a sermon that is not only one that God shared with me, but it's one that I had to live. How many of you absolutely just love walking through hard times? Is there anybody in here who loves that? Because if you are, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give God your name, your number, and your address. And I'm going to tell him, God, they can have all mine, and I'm just going to keep the good stuff, all right? Let's pray over this word. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do. Father, I just sense your presence in this place. Father, I ask you to move tonight, and I ask you to get me completely out of the way. Father, I thank you that these people will only see and hear you. That there will be nothing of me here. It will simply be you. Oh, Father, we ask you to forgive us, Father, of things in our lives, Father, called sin. Father, things that maybe that come into our life, even when we don't even mean it. We just, Father, living in a world of sin, we just pick something up. We ask you to forgive us tonight. Make sure that there's nothing in our ears, Father, that would keep us from hearing your still, small voice. Father, we honor you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the other day I was getting ready and we were trying to get out of town. We're going to be gone for about 2 weeks and my lovely bride's with me. And, you know, life is not the same without Miss Tricia with me. I mean, I have to go sometimes by myself, but I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I don't like to. The Word said that when we got married, we became one flesh. God didn't just call me into the ministry. He called her. You know how come so many pastors end up struggling in their marriage and end up leaving their churches and pastoring? It's because everyone thinks that they just called the husband. The Bible says we're one flesh. If I got called, she got called. It's all there is to it, plain and simple. If you can figure out how to divide the others, when it says one flesh, I don't have any, I mean, I'll be happy to listen to you, but I don't think you're going to be able to get this done biblically. All right, we are called together, and so we were getting there. But Miss Tricia has been having some back trouble and just sciatic stuff, and it hurts her to ride. And me and DA, I tell you, we've been down the road long enough. Dennis, there's nothing for a 16-hour day. It's not a problem. I don't even dislike it, to be honest with you. You stop when you have to pee and get fuel. That's about it. Amen. I mean, it's that simple, and it's fun. And sometimes you see a road that's going west. You've never been on it before. You take that road west, and it may take you an hour out of the way, but you've been on a road that you've never been before. I love it. But Miss Tricia, I've been noticing her in the pickup. She's been moving and turning, and then one time I noticed she was up on her knees and sitting there. I said, baby, what is going on with you? And she said, I can't take it no more. She said, I'm hurting so bad, I can't stand it. She said, this pickup's hurting me. So we decided, I said, I got to get this motorhome fixed. And I had this short. Now look, my gifting is in ministry. Do you understand me? Y'all catching my drift? If you got something mechanical that you need fixed, if you call me, you might as well have just wasted your oxygen somewhere else, because I'm going to go, I don't know what you did with the what you did. I have no idea how they work. I put gas in mine, and if it doesn't start, I wiggle the battery cables, and if that doesn't work, I call my mechanic friends and go, I'll have to pay you because I can't figure out. And they'll tell me all the time, well, did you check your carburetor? What? I don't even know where the carburetor's at. Just come look at it. But we had a short in this motorhome. Now, if you're in here, and some of you, I know some of you good Christian people are asking yourself, is he going to get to reading some scripture in just a minute? I never went to preaching school, so I don't know how to do it the correct way. I only know how to do it how God showed me, so bear with me. So I'm sitting there. Hey, don't go to preaching school. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke, so don't call Dennis next week and go, he's talking bad about people in preach school. I'm just kidding, all right? I wasn't smart enough to go. So anyway, we're sitting there, and I ain't got no plug-ins at work in this thing. We had one, and we got by with one. And I'm going to tell you something. My bride, she loves me, because if you've seen a woman sitting in the middle of the living room floor, in a little bitty mirror, putting on her makeup, going, Ray, you have got to get the rest of these plug-ins fixed. And I said, I will, but I just don't know how. So we get home and we call this man out, nicest man I've ever met in my life. He comes out and he's all fired up, and he works on RVs, and he goes, oh, we'll have this fixed in no time, blah, blah, blah. And he looks at me and he goes, man, I can't figure this out. Now listen, some of you electricians, listen to me carefully, because you're fixing to understand this. He said, you got power coming in to the breaker and power coming out of the breaker. He said, it ought to work. And I said, good. I said, how come it ain't? He said, I don't know. But he said, I don't have time right now to fix this. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know what's going on. But he said, here's what you do. He said, I want you to take this end of this extension cord and mail in. He said, you're going to cut the end off of your other one. And he said, you're going to make an extension cord with two mail ends. I said, okay. Now, what he doesn't understand is, Dennis Aaron, it's a big feat for me to understand wiring. So I had him tell me what wires went into what hole, because I have been prone to put the ground to the hot or whatever it is, because I don't understand electricity, all right? I don't. So I got it all together. And he said, now what you're going to do is, he said, you're going to plug this into your house, 110. He said, you're going to pull that motorhome up close, and he said, you're going to bring this extension cord on the inside. And he said, you're going to go down here to the end of the circuit. I said, what's the end of the circuit? He said, it's the last plug where it's supposed to stop. And I said, gotcha. He said, you're going to plug this thing in. And he said, you're going to run. He said, unplug everything, your TVs and everything. He said, because this could get bad. I said, am I going to die? He said, no. So I grabbed a hold of the electricity, and I walked in, and I grabbed the plug in he told me to. Plugged it in. He said, now, if you got a short, now, you electricians in here, you're fixing to understand. He said, that electricity's going to go all the way until you get to the place you got a short. Bingo, bammo, that's the bad circuit. Pull it out. We'll trace it from there and fix it. I said, that's it? He said, yeah. I said, heck, I can do that. Miss Tricia walked out while I'm wiring this deal. She said, honey, are you sure? I said, I got this, baby. I am an electrician. So I grabbed a hold of this deal, and I carried it in. And when I plugged it in, son, you would have thought we brought that motor home off the showroom floor. It lit up like a Christmas tree. TVs come on. Things come on that ain't been on in years. And it's going. And every plug works. I said, wait a minute. One of these ain't supposed to work. So I called the man back. He didn't answer. It was after hours. So I went, and I was going to move the motorhome because it was right in the front door. It's a big motorhome, but I didn't have enough cord. I needed to be right by the front door. And so I grabbed a hold of the key, and Here I went, and I went to start it. You know what it did? Miss Trisha wants to come out and talk to me. Bad idea. Those marriages we talked about tonight that needed reconciliation, that was mine on that day. I said, not now. I can't figure it out. We don't have electricity. It works. I guess we can plug into the house and drive down the road if we want to. She said, well, you don't have to be a jerk. Everything was falling apart, so I said, I can't take it no more. Tried getting my truck to boost it off. Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full. It won't start. So I've got a 38-foot motorhome in my front door. I can't see anything whatsoever, and I am hot. I haven't even thought about the goodness of God. I've thought about kicking a cat. That's the only thing I can think about. I'm mad. I mean, I'm hot. Now, I'm going to stop right here because y'all can be good religious people if you want to. Let me ask you, how many of y'all in here have ever had one of those days? Raise your hand. Those of you didn't raise your hand, you're either a liar or you live the most boring life I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, it was miserable. So I decided, I'm already mad. There's a tractor sitting over there that young son had been on, and I have no idea what he was doing on it, Dennis Aaron, but whatever it is, one of the arms he bent and made it look like an S, and I couldn't do any shredding. I couldn't do any nothing. Trisha said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to the tractor store. She said, good. Praise God. I got to the tractor store, and when I got there, I walked in, and I had a picture. I didn't even have the deal. I said, sir, I need that. He said, well, That could be a bunch of things. I said, look, there's a picture. I'm not feeling like ministering Jesus to this idiot at this moment. I said, that's why I brought you a picture. I said, that right there. I said, matter of fact, that tractor on the showroom floor, I need that one, that piece, that arm right there. He said, well, it's probably got a number. I said, sir, I don't really care what its number is. I just need one of them. I need to know how much is it going to be. He said, you know the funny thing about when things break? He said, they're just inanimate objects. And he said, they really don't care. He said, you just got to be smarter than they are. Have you ever spiritually wanted to hit somebody right in the mouth? You see, I was having one of those days. And this man began to talk to me, and before I knew it, I'm sitting in the Kubota tractor house in Lubbock, Texas, and I'm laughing, and I ain't laughed all day long. I'm sweaty. I smell nasty. I got something I can't figure out. I don't want to be gone for 2 weeks without my wife, and the only way I can take my wife is if the motorhome's fixed, and I'm just hot. And all of a sudden, I just begin laughing because he just begins to tell me, it's going to be all right. This, I don't even know if he saved Dennis, but he was smarter than I was. He said, it's going to be okay. So the next morning, I got up. Trish said, where are you going? I said, I'm taking this thing to the RV place. And I said, I don't have an appointment. And I said, but I'm going to beg them to help an idiot. So I walked in and I got out of my deal, and the guy said, can we help you? And I said, please. I said, sir, I've been chasing this thing down. And I said, now look, by this time I've got some advice. By this time, I sound educated. I said, sir, I plugged into my house. I said, we have a complete circuit. There is no circuit that is broken, and the fuse is good. I said, what I think I have is a relay that is out. I said, would it be possible for you to show me where the relay is at? Because the truth is, he could have showed me anything because I don't know what a relay looks like. And this man said, hang on, let me get somebody. So he grabbed a hold of his buddy, and he come out. Now, listen, I know y'all are still waiting for James. Just stay the course. It'll be worth it. So this man comes out, and he goes to look. And you know what he says? He says the same thing to me. It don't make sense. It should work. And I said, that's what I told my wife. And he said, now I'm on a mission. He said, I got customers, but he said, I got to figure this out. And we're going around. And he goes, look, I'm going to check this one other plug. And if it's not it, he said, I don't have time. And he said, you're just going to have to call the manufacturer. And I'll never forget. Swear to y'all, true story, not embellished, not made up. Dennis, I sat down right on the couch. And I said, Lord, I said, is there any way you could help me find this short or help me find out why these plugins? I said, I really need to. Instantaneously, he walked around the corner, no kidding, and said, you know, if you pray long enough and you pray hard enough, he said, you'll find an answer to your prayers. And he grabbed a hold of these two little things that you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to put stuff in light sockets. He had two of them that had a light-up dilly on it, and he plugged them in, and he goes, look, you've got 120 volts coming right here. He said, it's fixed. He said, it was just a switch. Now, listen to me. I had allowed a little switch to literally cause trouble in between me and my wife, and I was getting the motorhome fixed because I loved her. But she walked up to hug me, and I said, not now. Men, have y'all ever been there before? I don't need loving. I need fixing. And the Lord carried me to James. Now listen very carefully, because this is very painful for me, because this is what I had to grab a hold of that day. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd much rather stayed mad. Really, I mean, I ain't going to lie. I guess I could lie and pretend I'm holy and go, oh, I'm so glad God shined light upon me. I'd just soon stayed mad and just kicked everything. And I'd soon burn the field down and collect insurance on it. I'm going to be honest with you. But I couldn't, because this is what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? Does that make any sense to y'all? Look, let's be real. Does it make any sense to you? I am so glad that the thing won't start. I am so glad that I drove to Walmart because I bought batteries for it the last time at Walmart, so I turned it off because I was sure Walmart had batteries. I'm so glad that Walmart didn't carry those batteries anymore, and now I had to call AutoZone and look like an idiot and ask them to come pick me up so I could spend $300 with them and they could drive me back. Thank you, God, for this lesson. Now, follow me. It doesn't matter whether it's batteries. It doesn't matter whether it's in your relationship. It doesn't matter if it's with your job. It doesn't matter if it's with your kids. Here's what matters. If you're walking through a trial, I promise you, you will never make it better by getting so mad that it gets afraid of you and circumstances change. You will never worry so much that it goes, oh my goodness, he's worrying so much, I'm going to change right now because he could have a stroke at any moment. If we could change our circumstances by being angry enough, if we could change our circumstances by worrying enough, we would never have a trial, because all we would do is get really mad real quick and it'd get better. We'd worry real quick and it would get better. But the truth of the matter is, when you're walking through a trial, there is a purpose. And God wants us to find the purpose of the trials that we're walking through. God is not letting you go through something for no reason at all. I used to think, when I was playing football, and I know that this will shock y'all, I was not the most in shape person that my football coach had ever seen. And one morning, I decided that I was going to eat. My mama used to make popcorn balls. You ladies make popcorn balls, anybody? Raise your hand if you make popcorn balls. I bet you they ain't good as my mama's. I dare you to fix them and let me see. But I ate me a popcorn ball and I drank me a bottle of grapefruit juice before I went to football practice. And the coach was telling me something, Dennis, and you're a coach, and maybe you can still help me understand because I ain't got it figured out yet. He was telling me that when we were running up the bleachers, down the bleachers, and across the field, and back across the field, and up the bleachers 57,000 times, it was for my good, and there was a purpose for it because evidently we were going to come to a test, and we needed to just quit griping and complaining, and if you're going to puke, just puke and keep running. Some of us in this place need to grab a hold of the idea that we need to begin to quit complaining about our trials. And if you got to puke up some stuff on the way, get it puked up because you'll never get finished staying and complaining when the mess that you're in. You hearing me? You see, those trials that we're walking through are intended to carry us to a destiny. Everyone wants their destiny, but no one wants the journey to their destiny. The journey to your destiny sometimes doesn't look anything like what you had envisioned. The journey to your marriage being what God called it to be, it may not look like everybody else's journey, but honey, don't quit and give up on it in the middle of it because it's a trial. Because you've had one of those days, don't stay in that day. Move to another day. Woo. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking any thing. Now stop here because I'm fixing to bring some stuff home to you today, and I know that it is 7:58 and I'm going to be done shortly, but you got to catch this. The problem with most churches today is they've got a bunch of people going there and they ain't not one of them mature. All they want, they're like baby birds. They want somebody to come and regurgitate and throw it in their mouth and feed me, and I don't want to do anything for it. I want you to know something, that perseverance will bring about maturity. And so many people in the body of Christ, they want to quit because it's hard. When it gets hard, you ought to get you some grit about you. Do you understand what you're talking about? I'm talking about when it gets hard, say, there ain't no way I'm giving up. When it gets hard, that means that there's something so much better on the other side. I will never quit. I might have thought about quitting while it's good, but if you think I'm going to quit while it's bad, you've lost your ever-loving mind because God's doing something in me. How in the world can we ever expect to change a world out there? I'm going to say this one more time. I need everybody to listen to me. How in the world do we expect to change a world out there if we're not willing to have our world in here changed? If we're only willing to grow with things that we agree with. If we're only willing to grow when it's something that doesn't challenge us. Can I tell you what you get right there? You get rotten. You get out of shape. That's why God lets us walk through some stuff. Because he's bringing about that perseverance within us. God desires for you to be more than a conqueror, but you will never. Those sprints that coach made me run, we were playing six-man football. And honey, let me tell you something about six-man football. It is run, 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 run. I was so thankful for him in the fourth quarter after we did that because I didn't understand. I'd never played six-man football before. But when the game come, I was thankful that the coach took me to a place where I was literally sick. So in this house tonight, you may think I'm gone. This is too hard. It's too difficult. Honey, stay the course because the greatest game of all times is headed your way. And you will make it if you persevere now. Bow your heads, please. I'm done. 8:01. Bow your heads, please. Oh, my, my, my. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Listen, I every head bowed and every eye closed. There is no one in this place looking around except me and Pastor Dennis. If you're in this place tonight and you're walking through some stuff in your marriage. Now listen, it can be little, it can be big. And I know you say, Ray, ain't nobody going to raise their hand, not in public. I tell you what, when you get desperate enough, you'll do just about anything. You hear me? And if you're in this place tonight and you know God's calling you to persevere, but man, you're struggling in your marriage. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, I promise you. I've been in ministry 20 years. I didn't get there that long by embarrassing people. That's not what I want to do. I want to see you personally. I want Pastor Dennis to see you personally. If you're struggling tonight, and that's you, would you do me a favor? Nobody will know. Would you just raise your hand right now? Just yes, 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 yes. Somewhere else. Anywhere else. Yes. Anywhere else. Yes, thank you. Oh, my, 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 my. Y'all sense His presence in this place? God's going to restore some people. Today will be a day that you'll remember forever. This will be a night where God changed everything. Either He gave you the grit to hang on, or God changed hearts tonight. Now, the next thing I'm going to ask you, and I've never preached a message where I haven't asked this question, so I won't start today. If you're in this house and you go, Ray, I don't know anything about this persevering. Ray, I don't know anything about this trial stuff. I don't know anything about this Jesus stuff that you're talking about. Ray, I don't even know if Jesus lives on the inside of me. Ray, I don't know what this being saved means. But Ray, I need Jesus today. I don't know if I'm saved, but I want to be. This is my day where I say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. If that's you in this house, when I count to three, I just simply want your hand raised up. And if you're, now listen to me. Dennis and I have talked about this many times. Isn't it amazing that a God that created the universe has time to deal with us personally? God took time today to talk to me and you. And if you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, man, don't blow it off. I mean, a king is talking to you. So if that's you and say, Ray, I don't know if I'm saved, but I want to be, I want you to get your hand up high. One, two, three. Just raise it up high. Yes. Yes. Anywhere else? Anywhere else? Anywhere else? Last chance. Going once? Going twice? Gone. Would you do me a favor? Would you all just raise your heads up? Would you just stand to your feet? I'm going to get you out of here.